say to the Lord, Lord, would you please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight. Filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you alone. God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. I've discovered one thing about Jason. I know it's kind of hard to imagine this on a day that's like 50 some degrees out there today, but think about snow, okay? Think about snowball fights. Now, teenage boys, I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, those that have teenage boys or have ever been teenage boys, I think you kind of know this, or teenage or younger. Whenever there's snow, there's automatically going to be somewhere along the line a snowball fight. And so they reach down, you know, sometimes the snow's good, sometimes the snow's not so good. But I discovered one thing about Jason in the midst of these snowball fights. If he has anything as far as to protect him, I mean, it can be something as small as this. If he has something like this, I would say that he's probably the human snowball shield player of the year. I mean, honestly, you cannot hit the boy. I mean, Ryan, you know, it's not like, you know, wimpy old me just throwing the snowballs. It's Ryan, you know, who can throw it, zip it in there good. And he's trying to throw snowballs at Jason. And if he has something like this, he's going, bam, 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 bam. You know, you just cannot get a snowball in there. In other words, I guess tonight I'll call him the human snowball shield king of at least West Virginia, okay? Now, if you think about that in the context of snowballs being thrown at us, you know, if you will, there's a lot of snowballs thrown at us in the Christian life. Now, you say, who throws snowballs at us? Now, when I say snowballs, I'm talking about anything that disrupts our life, anything that may harm us, anything that wants to derail us from our close walk with the Lord. So there's a lot of snowballs, if you will, being thrown. This would have been a whole lot more effective if the Lord had brought snow tonight. But whenever the snowballs come our way, where are those snowballs coming from? Well, for one thing, the world's philosophies, the ideas of the world. I don't want to say the world because you may think I'm talking about the people of the world. Sometimes they throw snowballs at us, absolutely, but they're not the enemy. But the world's philosophy may oppose us. So wham, there comes a snowball right at us. Another thing that seems to throw snowballs at us is just our own humanity. And with our own humanity comes the old sin nature. With our own humanity comes illness. We live in a sinful world. You know, a lot of things like that. And sometimes those snowballs have illnesses written on them or financial problems. And the snowballs are whipping at us. And we just live in a sinful world. So what are we going to do? And then also, there's an enemy that throws snowballs at us. His name is Satan. The old devil likes to throw snowballs at us, if you will. Things that to harm us or to hurt us or to sidetrack us or to get us all focused and on and on and on. So you can imagine we're here as a Christian and there's a lot of, we're a pretty good target. Those snowballs are coming at us and we have something here we're trying to, what do we use as a shield in the Christian life? Well, can I tell you that the Lord himself is our shield? Title of the message tonight, Lord is my shield. The Lord is my shield. And it's on purpose that we sang A Shelter in the Time of Storm a little bit ago. And we should have sang A Shelter in the Time of a Snowstorm. But whenever the snowballs are coming at us, guess what? The Lord is our shield. We don't have to worry about, manning it ourselves or coming up with some way to stop those snowballs or those trials or those temptations or those problems. The Lord is our shield. Last week, do you remember what we talked about? Remember what we talked about? The Lord is our, do you remember? Our strong tower, that's right. The Lord is our strong tower. And really, the idea behind that is protection, but the idea of what we're talking about tonight is also protection. Now, the Hebrew word for that's used most in Scripture for shield, it's a word, malgain. It's the Hebrew word, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Hebrew reads, we typically read in English from left to right, but in Hebrew it reads from right to left. And the word is magain, which I'm sure you'll remember. But the Strong's Concordance said that that word is typically translated and means shield. And the emphasis of that shield is a small shield, a smaller shield. You know, they had huge shields, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a moment. But this one, the word that's used primarily for shield, is the emphasis is on the idea of a small shield. And this is interesting. It comes from another Hebrew word. This word that means shield with the emphasis on small shield comes from another Hebrew word which means to hedge about or protect. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, this word, this Hebrew word in particular, is used 63 times in the Old Testament. Can you imagine? 63 times in the Old Testament. 19 times in the book of Psalms. And again, it's usually translated shield. Now, there's another Hebrew word that's used for shield in the Old Testament. It's used 22 times in the Old Testament. It speaks more of a large shield, a larger shield. And sometimes it's translated, not always, but sometimes it's translated buckler. Remember reading that in Scripture, buckler? The idea there, not always, because even that word sometimes is translated that says small, but if you see it, you can ask yourself the question, is he talking about large or small shield? So if you put it together, 85 times the idea of a shield in the Old Testament is used. 85 times. 22 times in the Psalms. And again, this shield speaks of God's protection. And you say, preacher, what kind of shield are we talking about? Or what were the shields made of? Well, I looked up in several different Bible dictionaries. This says the shield was a hard object generally made of metal with which a warrior protected his body from the weapons of the enemy. In the biblical period, shields came in all sizes and shapes. Some shields were made of leather or wood. So some were metal, some were leather or wood. The shield was worn on the left arm to which it was attached by a strap. So that makes sense, right? You know, being anybody here left-handed? Wow. Is anybody here, is Patrick left-handed? Nope. Is anybody here married to anyone who's left-handed? Okay. Well, at one point, you know, left-handed, you were considered a freak. I mean, really. I mean, it was kind of... And so it was obviously you held the shield with your left arm and you had your knife, your spear, your javelin, or whatever, your sword in the right hand, right? Because everybody was assumed to be right-handed. So let's see what else. The surface was kept bright with oil, which preserved both the leather and the metal. So they put oil on the outside of the shield. And one of the things I read said, yeah, that also helped whenever arrows or whatever are coming their way. If it was oiled down, it might be more likely to veer off. So that's a good idea, I think, don't you? But what about this idea, the Lord is my shield? The Lord is my shield. We're going to look at several verses. And if you have your Bible, you're just going to have to get your fingers all limbered up and ready, because it's not going to be on the monitor tonight. So just get those fingers. We're going to be looking at some of the references to this shield in the Bible. And we have several points we're going to look at. We're going to look in particular at six different points tonight about the Lord is my shield. First of all, point number one, this shield is personal. The shield that we're talking about, the Lord, it's a personal type of shield. If you want to turn in your Bibles, Psalm 3:3, and we're just going to kind of throw them through a few places here. Psalm 3 and verse 3, it says, "But thou, O Lord," Psalm 3:3, "but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." So it says, you're a shield for me, Lord, for me. You know, if we're not careful, we'll forget. Yeah, okay, God loves all Christians. Yeah, God loves. Hey, but God loves you. You know, he's a shield to our family. He's a shield to our church. But he's your personal shield too. So we need to keep in mind that this shield is a personal shield. And in Psalm 18:2, if you want to flip over to Psalm 18 and verse 2, notice what it says. He starts out in verse 1, "I'll love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." So there the idea of buckler, again, a shield. So it's personal. You know, the psalmist, this is a psalm of David. When David wrote it, he didn't say he's just a shield to the nation of Israel. He's just a shield to all my brothers in Christ. No, it's a shield for me. It's my personal shield. Aren't you glad that we have a personal relationship with God? You know, God is God of the whole universe, but God is also my God. And he cares about me, and he speaks to my heart, and he leads me and guides my steps, and he heals my body, and he works in my life, and he directs my thoughts, and on and on. It's a personal type of relationship, and I'm thankful that carries over, that this shield that is the Lord is also personal, my shield. Chapter 28 and verse 7. Here, another psalm of David. He says in verse 7 of chapter 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Again, my shield, my shield. Psalm 119. You got to turn way over there now in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 14. 119 and verse 14. Psalm 119, verse 14. You know, I don't think that's right. Is it 114? Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. Well, bless your heart. It's kind of hard to wing it when you get the wrong reference. It's Psalm 119, verse 114. Yep. Sorry about that. Psalm 119, verse 114. It says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Again, this shield is a personal shield. Personal shield. The Lord is my personal shield. One more on this point. Look at Psalm 144, and I hope it's verse 2. Kind of rattled my confidence a little bit here. Psalm 144, verse 2. Another Psalm of David. It says, verse 2, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." I'm glad that this shield that is the Lord, it's a personal shield. You know, some of us are a real mess. We need God's personal shield to look after us, right? So I'm glad this is not a collective thing. Now, he collectively is our shield as our church. I guess I'd say that he is a shield to Oak Mound Evangelical Church. He is a shield to our families. He is a shield to our workplace, and he is a shield when we drive on the road. I mean, he's a shield in all those things, but I'm thankful that he specifically is a shield to me personally. He's concerned about us. You know, that there's a lot of people in the world that do not think God love or that anybody loves them. And we can say, you know what? God loves you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Second point, the Lord is my shield. Number one, this shield is personal. Number two, this shield will deliver. This shield will deliver. Look at Psalm 18 in verse 35. Psalm 18 in verse 35. Some of you may be getting a little bit worried. You say you got 6 points and you're only on point two. And we're not even done with that yet. It's okay. We'll be done by midnight. Psalm 18, verse 35. Psalm 18 and verse 35. I like this. It says in this psalm in particular, Psalm 18, we're back to the Psalm of David again. But notice what it says in verse 35. It says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Do you realize that the shield of the Lord will deliver us? Now, when it says salvation, it's probably talking about the shield of thy deliverance, probably in particular. But you know what? Do you know what we as New Testament Christians, do you know what we've been delivered from? We've been delivered from sin. You say, "Preacher, I'm still a sinner." Well, you are, and I am, but we've been delivered from our sin. It doesn't have to have dominion over us anymore. And the effect of sin brings it forth. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death," right? But we don't have to be victim to the consequences of sin because the Lord, my shield, has delivered me or provided salvation for me. So I don't have to worry about sin having dominion over me. I don't have to worry about death. So when it comes down to our last little breath in this world, we Christians don't have to be anxious about it. Really. I mean, I know. I'm not saying that we don't have those moments, maybe a little bit of fear of the death, because we've not been there before. You know, any place we've not been, we're a little bit hesitant, but we don't have to. Because God has delivered us as our shield. He's delivered us from sin and death, and this is big, and from hell. Wow. You know, I don't have to worry about going to hell because I've been delivered. The Lord is my shield. This shield is personal. Second, this shield will deliver. We've been delivered from sin, death, and hell. Number three, the Lord's got a big shield. The Lord's got a big shield. Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35 and verse 2. Psalm 35 and verse 2. Psalm 35 and verse 2. Another Psalm of David. If you look at verse 1, he's pleading to the Lord. "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." And he said, while you're doing that, "Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help." You know what he's saying? You know, I got all kind of enemies out there, and I know you are my shield, but just pick up your big shield and protect me. Because you see it right there? It says, "Take hold of shield and buckler." Man, there's nobody I'd rather have on my side than the Lord. The Lord be for us. Who can be against us, right? Look also Psalm 47 and verse 9. Psalm 47 and verse 9. I like this, 47 and verse 9. Psalm 47, verse 9. It says, "The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." say, God's got a big shield. It says the shields of the earth. I don't know, kind of in my mind, I'm picturing that God has this shield of protection over this whole earth. That's kind of the way I'm picturing it. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but that's the way I understand that. What's that? A dome over the earth? You know, and there's a whole lot of people. I'm going to get on just a little bit of a tangent here. There's a whole lot of radical environmentalists that are really worried about this old world. And they're afraid that, you know, we're going to do something and this is going to happen and our kids and our grandkids aren't going to have a planet. Well, this planet is going to be here as long as God wants it to be here. And I'm not advocating bad practices against the environment or destroying the environment on purpose and all that, but I'm telling you, we don't have to worry about it because God's got a big shield over this earth, and this earth is going to continue until, remember the promise to Noah when he got out of the ark? There'll be seed time and harvest and none and none. You know, so basically, time's going to go on until I say it doesn't. So a lot of the radical environmentalists' sentiment is totally misplaced because they don't know the God of the Bible like we do. We don't have to worry about it. This world's going to be around as long as God wants it to be around. That won't cost you a bit extra, okay? That was a little mini sermon on the side, but this, the Lord is my shield. First of all, this shield's personal. Number two, this shield will deliver. We've been delivered from sin, death, and hell. Third, the Lord's got a big shield. Number four, the Lord as my shield is my defense from my enemies. The Lord as my shield is my defense from mine enemies. Now, look at Psalm 7 and verse 10. Psalm 7 and verse 10. This to me is interesting. Now, the idea is defense. The idea is protection. But notice, this is the same word that we started out with. That malgain, that Hebrew word that means shield and has an emphasis on a small shield, more portable type of thing, more so. Here, it's translated my defense. My defense. It says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. So the Lord is my shield, is my defense from my enemies. Look at Psalm 89 and verse 18. Psalm 89 and verse 18. Psalm 89 verse 18. Notice again, that same word is translated shield in most places is translated here defense. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. So I'm glad. You know, we talked about the Super Bowl coming up. At any given point in the game, more or less, there's some team on offense and there's some team on defense, right? So sometimes when the world and our, even living in this world, the sinfulness of this world, our own sin natures, the devil himself, throwing those snowballs, I'm thankful that the Lord is my defense. He's the one that does the protecting. So, the Lord is my shield. This shield is personal. This shield will deliver. The Lord's got a big shield. The Lord is my shield, is my defense from my enemies. Two more points. Point number five, because the Lord is my shield, I can hide in him. Because the Lord is my shield, I can hide in him. We're going to go back to that verse that I told you to go to the wrong place. Psalm 119, verse 114. Remember I told you verse 14, but it's actually verse 114, according to Linda, and she got it right. You get a star for the day, by the way, a gold star for the day. Our star student. Look. Sure, Psalm 119, verse 114. And the point is, because the Lord is my shield, I can hide in him. You know, I know sometimes things hit us pretty hard, and we kind of really would like to go hide under our bed. You know, the problem with that sometimes is the beds are so low, you can't get under them. That's not good, so that won't work. And I don't think it's really good for a Christian to go hide under the bed. I think it's better to say, Lord, guess what? I'm going to hide in you because you are my shield. You are my defense. You are the one that's going to take care of this. Psalm 119, verse 114. Wasn't it Corey Ten Boom that wrote the book Hiding Place, or My Hiding Place? I wonder if she got, you know, so many things that I've noticed in Scripture, as we've noticed before, that a lot of common expressions, they got them right here from the Word of God. You know, and here it happens to be, sound like the title of her book. It says in Psalm 119, 114, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I'm thankful. Have you ever played hide and seek? You know, I'm terrible. I'm terrible at hide and seek, aren't I, Amy? Pretty bad. I mean, she's like if Amy is a 9, I'm probably about a 3, in good hiding spots and good hiding places. I don't know what it is. I don't know. We every year at camp we have a counselor hunt, usually at junior camp and teen camp. It seemed like this year maybe they just did one and not both. And my goal, you ready? Because see, if you don't get caught, your team that you are with, working with as a counselor, gets so many bucks or points or home runs or whatever they're, you know, keeping track of. But my goal is just not to be the first one found. That's my goal. And I've met that goal at least most of the time lately. But I'm terrible at it. Finding the right hiding place. Can I tell you? The best hiding place. Don't go crawl under your bed. Don't go hide in the closet. Don't go AWOL and just go on this huge drive and not let anybody know where you are, because that won't really do any good either. You just make everybody nervous and worried about you. Guess what? Just make up your mind, I'm going to hide in the Lord because He is my shield. He is my protector. He is my defense. Last point. We've looked at the Lord is my shield. The shield is personal. This shield is personal. This shield will deliver. God's got a big shield. God is my shield, is my defense from my enemies. We just looked at because the Lord is my shield, I can hide in Him. And last point, the Lord is my shield ultimately. But if we're going to fully realize it, we got to have faith. Trust. Now I'm going to switch. I'm going to make a radical switch here. You ready? We're going to the New Testament. go to Ephesians chapter 6. Almost finished. Ephesians chapter 6. I really struggled with how best to word this, and I'm not sure if I still got the best way to word this. Because the Lord is our shield, okay? He is our shield. But how do we best recognize that? Or how do we best realize that He is our shield? And can I tell you, it's by faith. Now notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read a verse there, then I'm going to jump down. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay? And then it goes through the different armors that we put on, different pieces of armor, that is. Loins girded about with truth in verse 14. The breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. Feet shod with preparation of the gospel, peace, verse 15. And then it goes past in verse 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it says praying in verse 18. But notice in verse 16, this is what we're going to talk about. Remember, we're talking about the Lord is our shield, or the Lord is my shield, okay? It says above all, with all these pieces of armor, above all, taking there's that word, shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the snowballs of the wicked. No, it doesn't really say that. But the idea is, right, be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So like I said, I struggled a little bit with the best way to phrase this, but I think we need to realize that ultimately our shield is the Lord himself. But how do we fully realize that, or how do we feel safe and secure in him being our shield? I think we got to have faith and trust that he is our faith and shield, that he is our trust and shield, that he is our protection, that he is our defense. Does that make sense? So the Lord is my shield ultimately, but if we're going to fully realize that he is our protection, that he is our defense, that he is our shield, we have to make sure that we trust him, that we trust him. Tonight, we've talked about the Lord is my shield. I hope that this gives you encouragement. Similar along the same lines as last week, the strong tower that the Lord is. But the Bible uses this idea shield a number of times. God inspired the writers of the Old Testament in particular to mention it, 85 times. So I think God really wants us to get the point that we can trust the Lord. We can trust his protection. We can trust that he will be our shield. Now, again, whether Jason is truly the human snowball shield champion of West Virginia or not, you can be a champion in God's eyes by simply realizing and recognizing and exercising your faith and trust in God that he is your shield. And so when you get hit with a snowball, I think the worst place to get hit with a snowball is right in the face, don't you think? Not good. Sometimes upside the head on, and who knows, we may be hit upside the head with a snowball this week. Could be thrown by the devil. It could be thrown by just life. Could be thrown by people of the world or the ideas of the world. Now, how are you going to respond to that? I'll figure this thing out. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to get revenge on it. I think we just need to kind of say, take a breath. Okay. Breathe, just breathe, right, Connie? God is my shield. He'll protect me. I can hide. I can trust in the fact. I can just raise that shield of faith. In the New Testament, it talks about fiery darts. I can raise that shield of faith, and it will protect me. God's shield will protect me from all the things that can harm me. And I know some people, when I say that, I have to feel like I have to put this little parenthesis and this little asterisk. Preacher, preacher, preacher. You say that, but there's been a lot of Christians. What about the missionaries that have gone to the mission field and they were killed on the mission field? God did not raise his shield. He did not protect them. I say, yes, he did. He gave them the ultimate protection. Remember, when we leave this world, it's an upgrade. It's not a downgrade, it's an upgrade. And that upgrade word doesn't even suffice. I mean, this is like graduation time. So yes, he did protect them. Yes, he was their shield. Yes, he did take them home. And I'm thankful for that. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I hope that every Christian here tonight can take comfort and encouragement in the Lord's shield or protection. The Lord is your shield for protection, to be a hiding place, to keep you safe, your defense. I guess I'd say it in three words. Do you realize that God's got this? God's got this. Is there something you're thinking about right now that figuratively it's like a snowball that just hit you? Or snowball may hit you a while back, but it's still stinging. Trust the Lord to take care of it. In essence, raise your shield of faith and say, yes, Lord, you got this. I'm going to have faith and trust. You got this. Is there something you need to talk to the Lord about in that area tonight? And just say, Lord, I know you got this. And I thank you that you're my shield. Just continue to protect. Continue to protect. for someone here tonight that's lost, I would ask simply the question, don't you want to have this kind of shield or protection in your life? Don't you want this kind of protection in life? Don't you want to have a God like this on your side? If so, I'd encourage you tonight to trust Jesus as your Savior. Trust Jesus as your Savior. If there's any doubt at all, nail it down. People might be tuned into Facebook, perhaps, and you say, you know, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'd like to have that kind of, I'd like to have that kind of God that's my shield, my protection. Well, you get that shield by trusting Jesus as your Savior. So I'd encourage you, if you're listening in and you're lost, in your heart at least, would you call out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Wipe the slate clean. I believe Jesus died on the cross as your son for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I confess Jesus as my Savior. If you mean that from your heart, you can have that same shield that we as Christians have. The shield of the Lord. The protection, the defense, the hiding place of the Lord. I'd encourage you to do that. Dear God, we thank you for your Bible. And Lord, it seems to me that if it's mentioned 85 times in Scripture, it's probably something we ought to look at. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity tonight to look at it, at least in a brief way. And Lord, we thank you for being our shield. And Lord, help us to trust you more every single day. And as it puts it in the New Testament, raise that shield of faith, our trust, Lord, that you've got this. And Lord, whatever we may be facing, may we leave here a little bit more confident, a little bit more encouraged, a little bit more strengthened, knowing that you got this, that you are our shield. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. My trusted assistant.